Welcome to the podcast of Focus 580, featuring interviews with newsmakers and experts on international affairs and daily life, hosted by David Inge at WILL Radio, Urbana, Illinois. Please support this service by becoming a member and visit us on the web at will.uiuc.edu.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we are glad to have you listening. We're also pleased to welcome back to the program the man we like to call our official chef in residence. It's purely honorary, ladies and gentlemen. Doyle Moore is his name, and he's been stopping by here for more years than either of us care to count on a regular basis to talk about food and cooking, and we always have fun when he is here. We choose a topic, and when I say we, I mean he chooses a topic, something that just pops into his head, and he says, well, let's talk about this. And sometimes we've talked about a particular dish or a kind of a cooking technique or approach to cooking or cooking from some particular place, and talk about that, exchange recipes and cooking stories, encourage people just to, you know, call in whatever's on your mind. And the topic thing is not really – it gives us some structure. It gives us something to start out talking about, but it's not real rigid. We've started with one thing and ended up talking about something else, if that was what was interesting to people who were listening. So that's fine. The rules here are not real strict. But we are going to start out here talking this morning about quiche. And if you want to call in, maybe you have a recipe or just want to say hi, 333-9455. That's the number here in Champaign-Urbana. And toll-free, 800-222-9455. At any point here, if you want to give us a call, you can do that. Well, it's good to see you.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, it's funny. On the subject of quiche, I thought about this the other day. There was one day that I was sitting in front of the television, and I was just sort of flipping around and came to one of the movie channels, and they were showing To Catch a Thief, that Hitchcock movie with Cary Grant, mm-hmm. where he plays this he's Cary Grant, this very elegant, sophisticated, retired jewel thief. So at one point in the movie, he's entertaining somebody, and the guy here, he's having lunch at his house, and it's a really beautiful house, and it has a terrace that overlooks the water and everything. And they're sitting there, and they're having lunch, and the guy he's having lunch with is British. And at one point, he serves him something, and Grant says to the guy, says, "This is quiche Lorraine." And the British man says something like, "Oh, you know, I've heard of this, but I've never had it." And I'm thinking, man, nowadays, you know, quiche is kind of like, it's not exotic anymore. And how many people could you say, well, I've never in my life had quiche? Yeah, it's an egg pie, you know, it's baked in a shell. I mean, it's such a common thing. And yet to think about this time when somehow that would have been so exotic that someone would have said, I've heard of this, but I've never tasted it.
Well, that he did present the right sort of first quiche, the quiche Lorraine. And indeed, you had heard that name for a long time, long time, long time, and you had never eaten. I mean, there was a time when you could have said that, but that would have been probably in the 50s if you'd ever heard it about like that. Yeah. It just wasn't a popular thing. Then it became very popular, and it became so popular that somebody, I don't know who it was, I never bought one, manufactured the quiche filling in a quart cardboard container in the dairy case.
All you had to do was open it up and pour it out.
It was like eggnog and eggnog mix. It was exactly the same attitude to where it became so sort of plebeian that I think that's why it gave up, is that except the attitude of making a quiche in those days is totally different from what I want to talk about, and it's why I was interested in this. The attitude at that particular time was to sort of to make this slurry. I mean, it was a big everything was all mixed in one container, and then sort of poured heavily into the crust, and you went ahead and baked this mass of stuff, and it solidified and worked like a custard. But what it really came to be was a kind of a flavored custard, a custard mm-hmm. with some sort of extra flavoring, be it more cheese, more bacon, a lot of onions, something like that. It could be any of that. And so about 2 weeks ago, I'm a member of a small eating club. We gather and eat. and everyone brings something. So here was this thing. I mean, I would not have recognized it as a quiche. I did not recognize it as a quiche. And I did not recognize it as an onion pie. But it was cooked by a native French. And the description was, oh, it has onions and asparagus and artichoke hearts. Well, there's nothing like that. And you look at it and you cut into it, it's great big hunks of stuff. And I thought, this is really kind of interesting. This really is a kind of a quiche. So then, of course, my favorite magazine came, and featured in it is the whole way of approaching this to cook. And I thought maybe we would talk about that, but I would like to also hear other people's favorite manners of cooking a quiche, because, well, I remember when it was really quite fashionable to be able to do that, but you sort of ended up with a shrimp quiche or the bacon and cheese, and there weren't very many variations, and you were sort of wary at what to put into it. Well, this whole attitude is different in this manner of cooking of making and preparing the quiche, and you only have very few rules in this manner. The one rule is, don't choose more than three items but you can choose any three items that you feel comfortable with or maybe would enjoy. I have a recipe here for ham, sweet potatoes, and broccoli. Now, how is that? Ham, sweet potatoes, and broccoli. And I'm thinking that this might be a good place to do some lettuce. I think lettuce. I know that spinach would be you'd recognize spinach, and you could probably recognize Swiss chard. But it seemed to me like the way of the lettuce I would use is the big iceberg. The big iceberg lettuce that no one likes to cook.
Everybody's. It's not cool. It's not fashionable. It's not elegant.
We used to have it. It used to be a wedge with French dressing on it.
Exactly. Exactly. A big chunk of it and pour the dressing on it.
And since that, it sort of disappeared. Well, I have been aware of the Pennsylvania Dutch manner of making wilted lettuce with iceberg lettuce, and so therefore you do saute it rather quickly, and you could do that in this method. I sort of put together an idea of maybe lettuce and sliced radishes and something else. I forget right now what the third thing. It wouldn't be a piece of meat. It'd be another vegetable. But it wouldn't make much difference. A rutabaga would be very good with that combination. So what you do is, if you have raw things like vegetables and frozen things, you sauté them first so that they soften down a bit, because else they won't take – because you only cook it for about 30 minutes. And so that isn't time enough to cook any product that you're going to put in there. So the first thing is, if you're going to use fresh things, saute them first and then put them into the pie crust. And then the second thing is, you make the custard. It's very, very simple. It's two whole eggs and two egg yolks. That's four egg yolks altogether, two eggs and two egg yolks, and then a half of a cup of milk and a half a cup of heavy cream. And it is advised not to use half and half, because half and half has a strange characteristic at a certain time, in a certain way of cooking, it separates. And I had never run into that problem before, but I will pay attention to that problem now. So using a half a cup of cream and a half a cup of milk was the answer. And then a tablespoon of Dijon mustard. But I always like to paint the bottom of the crust with the Dijon mustard anyway. So I wouldn't put that into that mix. And then just salt and pepper and cayenne and nutmeg. And that's all that there is to it. And that recipe is constant for all of these. So you just pile in the ingredients that you would have sautéed a little bit, or if it's something that like crab that comes out of a can and it's already cooked, you wouldn't have to sauté the crab. But that is just a big pile of heavy stuff, and you just simply pour that liquid over it, and it has far less liquid than the old quiches did, because you're only using this liquid to hold these chunky things together. Mm-hmm. So then it's baked for about 30 minutes at 375. You start out with the oven at 400, and you blind bake the crust, and then you bring it down to 375 and cook it for 30 minutes. And it would be just a little bit shaky in the middle, but then that'll set up. And then you always want to let the quiche rest for, a goodly period of time. In fact, it's even advised, cook it one day and then just put it away and heat it up a little bit for the next day. And so it's a totally different attitude. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, questions are welcome, or recipes or comments or cooking tips or whatever. However you want to be involved here, you can do that by calling us 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana here where we are. We do also have a toll-free line. That means the call's on us if it's a long-distance call for you. That's 800-222-9455. And the guest this morning is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Well, now, let me ask you a question. I was talking about this with Mrs. Inge the other night, and we were kind of wondering about if this is even possible, if you're concerned about trying to cut down on the fat. Here now, in your custard, you got a half cup of heavy cream.
Yes.
Mixed with milk. And I guess I'm just wondering, is there any way that you can put in a lighter fat kind of dairy component in there? Or do you really have to have the cream to get the custard really to work right?
Well, I'm going back in my mind. I read a lot of these converted recipes, and they throw out the cream and put in only skim milk.
Yeah.
Now there is maybe you might want to add a just the slightest velouté, the thickening,
a little white sauce.
A little white sauce. In fact, now that I think about it, let's do it like Julia does in Ramequin Forestier, where she uses the skim milk and Wandra flour, the kind that won't bunch up.
Yeah.
And then put the flour directly in the milk and stir it until it thickens itself up, and then there's a nice body to that paste. And then you could use that, and then whip the egg yolks up in it, and they would all everything and the eggs and the egg yolks, so they would all rise. And that is what you could do, and you would you could cut down on fat. Now I have used the egg substitutes for making a quiche. It worked quite well. I was very surprised, because it didn't slow down the raising, which I thought was something that came from the yolks, but apparently the whites, what you're getting in the egg substitute. So yes, you could use egg substitute and milk, but I would thicken it with flour.
Okay.
I wouldn't put in cornstarch, and I wouldn't use arrowroot. I would make the thickening. I would start in a totally different way. Start with the milk, add the Wandra, and then put in the eggs, and then pour it on. Maybe you could also thicken it up a little bit with some cheese while it's still hot, so that you have this thicker cheese, and then pour that on. Then sprinkle cheese on top, and you got it.
Okay.
Be the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you're right.
That's just maybe some people would have that concern and they would like to have it, but they're concerned about their fats.
I have the concern, and sometimes I say, look, I'm only going to eat one now. It's not something that I eat every day or eat in that manner every day, so I always like to try it. But as I say, I pay attention to these recipes that come to me that are often altered and reduced, and that is the way that they do most of the reducing. Some of them would even use a non-fat chicken broth instead. They would make a velouté instead of a béchamel. The difference is that you start with this and put this in, and you start with this and put this in. So you could do either one of those.
Yeah, okay. I guess the thing I was thinking of would be the whites, sort of the classic sort of white sauce, like you would make, for example, if you were going to make a souffle.
Yeah, but then you have to use butter.
That's right. You do, don't See, you? That's, See, that's you're going to defeat the whole purpose of the thing.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I only know this from the Julia Child recipe, where she does not use butter in that sauce. And I always was surprised. Like, how can you make a white sauce by just throwing flour and milk? That's the way you do it. I don't know what it's really called. It's not called a white sauce. It's really just thick milk. It's not a classic sauce. So you don't make a roux.
It's not a roux either. Because you don't. Essentially, your roux is you brown the flour
in the butter
in the fat
equal amount of flour and fat, and then add milk, and then you'll end up with a nice gravy that's very rich, but then what you're asking for is something that is not that rich, and that's the way you do it.
All right. Well, let's talk with someone here.
Yes,
in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hello. First, I have a joke, then I have two comments.
Yes.
I won't name the protagonist in this joke. Let's just say that it is an incumbent office holder and a subordinate, and they're out at a restaurant, and the office holder orders a quickie, and the waitress is taken aback and very insulted and tells him what for, and his subordinate leans over and says, "It's pronounced quiche."
That's what happens.
You don't want to be messing with subordinates because it could be packing heat. You never can tell.
That's good. Thank you.
Thinking about reducing fat, I suppose it would help to eliminate the crust and just do it as a custard in a dish. I don't know if the crust is kind of nice contrast.
The crust seems to be important. I wanted to talk about that in another way. You could change the crust. I talked to Sister night before last, and I told her what we were going to do. I hope she's not listening, because she said, "Oh, don't tell them how to make a quiche with stovetop stuffing." I said, "Ooh, how is that?" "Oh, we do it here." She's a house mother at a fraternity, and she says, "I just can't stand it." She's also an extraordinarily good cook, but you use stovetop stuffing, and I think two things. She wouldn't clarify it because she wanted to pretend at least to be angry with it. I believe that you could make the stovetop stuffing and not put as much liquid in it and have it a little bit drier, but still you'd be able to press it into the bottom of a pan, number one. Number two, I would use a glass pie pan. But then I thought, well, why not blind bake it as well for about 15 minutes and then sort of let because it'd be a very thin amount of that, and it should be able to crust over and kind of dry out. Because what you don't want to do is to put the custard on top of that, and then it get all soggy in the bottom of the pan. And I think that would be the only real problem. But I'm going to work on that, because I think it's kind of neat, the idea of using a dressing or stovetop stuffing. You probably could. Ooh, I just had an idea. Panko.
What?
Panko, the Japanese breadcrumbs.
That's never heard of it.
Oh, it's an absolutely marvelous object. Any of the Asian food stores in town have it. Panko. It comes from the Japanese use of the word pan, the same as the French for bread, and the word ko, which means ground up or floured or mashed, not mashed, ground flour. So panko really means breadcrumbs. That's exactly what it is. I'll bet you could mix panko with something. Now, what would you make? You'd have to give it. I'm afraid it wants to be butter, but it could be. It could be one of the butter substitutes that isn't quite as heavy in cholesterol. Smart Balance, and then mix it together so that you get kind of a paste. I'll bet you could make a good crust out of that. Sort of like taking the graham cracker crust, only using panko instead of graham crackers. But that uses a little butter, I think.
The other thing that challenge that I'm working on is my daughter-in-law, who lives in Denver, has a gluten allergy, which she's just discovered in the last couple of years.
Oh, yes.
And they're coming to visit at the end of March, so I'm beginning to think, what kinds of things can I make that aren't going to have gluten in them, and what kinds of recipes can I adapt? Because you can't use wheat flour for thickening. And
no.
I even read that balsamic vinegar has gluten in it.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either, but I just read it somewhere. Anyway, some things are pretty obvious, but if you wanted to do something like a quiche, you'd have to be more thoughtful and inventive and maybe buy a cookbook. I bought one.
Well, you see, what you described as a possibility does exist. It's called a gratiné, which is a quiche without a crust. And you just simply oil the dish, and you put the filling and everything into the dish, and then cover it with cheese, so that you give a little crust to the top, and then it's eaten out of the dish as a gratiné, which is. The filling could be the same, and the ingredients could be the same. You don't have to have a crust.
It just occurred to me as you were saying that you could maybe use sliced potatoes. I wonder, would you have to cook them ahead of time?
I would. I would boil them just a little bit, not a long time, because potatoes really like to cook for quite a while sometimes. Fried potatoes took so long to cook, I remember, and then the heat has to be much lower. So I would boil them just about till they're, as the Irish would say, so they still have a bone. That's the Irish way of boiling potatoes, the old Irish way of boiling potatoes. So they're still sort of hard on the inside. Then you could slice them. That would work very well. In fact, there is a Welsh pie that covers the bottom of the crust with potato slices first, and then the stuff is put in on top of it. So that is a possibility, yes.
I wonder what you would use for any thickening for various kinds of sauces, including doing the quiche, if you were trying to substitute so that you had a thicker deal?
Well,
wheat flour. Some things call, I've seen potato starch, and I have a cookbook for desserts, and I haven't
Yes.
explored with it yet. I haven't bought one for general cooking.
I'm thinking of another funny thing. I mean, it's funny, but I'm sure that there's a recipe that I'm describing. I've never had it, but I think I would have it. I'm putting together two things. I was at Trader Joe's in Indianapolis the other day, and I saw a package of an angel hair spaghetti that was gluten free and wheat free. And so the possibility of having a pasta that you could make as a pasta, and then either frying that like a frittata, or even putting it into a dish and baking it, it would be kind of there are fried pastas, and you could use that as a base. That might well work too. And then if you pour the stuff over it, it might be sort of funny to eat. I think it would be peculiar to eat, but I believe that would be a possibility.
We'll just give it a new name. Maybe we'll call it a quickie.
Well, call it a quickie. I think that's wonderful. Great.
But, you know, apparently a lot of people actually have this allergy.
Yes, really? I have just recently learned of it, and I spoke to somebody. In fact, I saw her at Trader Joe's, and she was looking around for rice flours that she could use, because apparently that's a possibility.
A lot of grocery stores now have packaged Red's Mill flours.
Yes, Bob's Red Mill.
Bob's Red Mill, and they have potato starch and a whole bunch of different things. And Jerry's IGA in Champaign has a whole section of gluten-free stuff. Which I will go out and explore more seriously now.
Well, I think you can be creative with that, yes.
Yeah, thanks.
Not sacrifice. Yes, thank you.
We're a little bit past the midpoint here. It's the first Wednesday of the month, first day of March, first day of climatological spring. And it's the time of the month where, yes, and it's all, oh, it's also Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday.
Dara reminds me. And beginning of Lent. And I'm going to give up. Well, never mind. I'll think of something. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and this is the show that we do on cooking. We have done this for a long time with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, and he said that this time around he'd be interested in talking a little bit about quiche, in particular this a sort of different way of doing that that he just came across recently. He said he was having a get-together, and someone brought this object in, and it was a little radical in its approach, but he thought, well, that's pretty interesting. It's a different way of doing it. So we're talking about quiche, but of course, other things, whatever's on people's minds, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And here's someone in Champaign. We'll talk with them next. Line two, hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to start at the bottom. The woman who just called about the quiche and the gluten allergy.
Yes.
I would highly recommend that she go just to the local library. There are a number of really good cookbooks. But there's also a website, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. My mother-in-law has the gluten allergy, and so
yes.
I'm learning to cook differently because I bake a lot and stuff for her. But I do buy those packaged mixes, and they're great. But I know that she also uses cornstarch or thickener, you know, which, you know, is kind of a throwback. I mean, I used to use it, and then I got lazy and just used flour.
Yes.
The website at least will give people lots of information about, because a lot of the things that we normally buy inadvertently have gluten in them.
I did not know that, but that's what we're finding out, yes.
Yeah, so it's really helpful to go to the website.
Now, what is the website?
You know, I need to, actually, I have to ask my mother-in-law. She's not computer savvy, so. But she does have it. Actually, I think it's like, oh gosh, I just can't remember. But if you just go on and like Google and do gluten-free, I think you'll get to it.
Oh, that's
really
a thought. That's a thought. Yeah, gluten-free.
Helpful. Yeah, because I've even written to companies and just to find out which of their products don't have gluten in them, so that I can actually cook, you know, when we do family dinners.
Yes, indeed.
No, but it's really helpful a lot. But I do buy the package mixes. They come in real handy, and for, you know, when I would need to do quick baking and I don't really want to think about which flours I have to buy. Anyway, in terms of the quiche, I had a couple things. I have this old quiche crust recipe in my days when I really tried to always use whole wheat and all, which I still try to use.
Oh, yes.
But it actually substitutes part of the whole wheat with sesame seeds. Of course, it calls for butter, but I often use just whatever, you know, like substitute.
Do you have that recipe in your mind right now?
I can look it up. I have to, you know, it's one of those that I don't use very often.
It sounds good.
But it actually makes it really nice and hearty and crunchy. And I think just adds something really nice to the quiche.
Yes.
It's a royal pain to make sometimes, which is why I don't do it very often. I'm trying to find my recipe cards. I was laying down listening to the program and just had to call. But it doesn't roll out well,
uh-huh.
So you need to use wax paper. because it tends to stick. So, you know, it's,
oh,
it's
yes.
worse than a regular.
Yeah, between sheets of wax paper or plastic, yes.
My husband's remodeling our kitchen. That's why I can't find my recipe books because I've moved them all around. Anyway, I will try to find it. It basically adds like a half a cup of sesame seeds to, and you just lighten up a little bit on the whole wheat. Other than that, it's pretty much the same as a basic pie crust.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, so, and the last thing was, I actually have tried making quiche with just basically with skim milk or with 2% milk.
Yeah.
Because I never have cream in the house.
Yeah.
And it works, but what I find is I oftentimes have to add an extra egg or so to give it, you know, so it'll thicken up.
So it'll thicken up.
Right.
That's why I suggested to the woman to put flour, the quick yeah. blending flour in would give it a thickening to begin with, and that seems to be what you really want, something that's a little more solid.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you really take away much in terms of fat and that sort of thing by doing it the way I do it, but it does make it, I think, taste better.
Yes.
You know, with still being able to use milk instead of adding the cream. Anyway, that's all.
Yeah, good.
Okay. All right,
well, thank you very much.
I did hear, as you have been talking, in my web browser on the computer in front of me, just typed in gluten-free and came up with all kinds of stuff here. So if people are looking for information and they have internet access, that would certainly be a way. It looks like a lot of these sites are trying to sell products, but some of them also do seem to be or either listings for cookbooks, or there was one, and the very first one that I came across did look like it had. They were also, I think, promoting a cookbook, but it does also look like they have recipes, and it looks like they have some that are free. So that's www.glutenfree.com. People could try that. Or, as I said, just put gluten-free into the browser, and you can take a look at and see what comes up. And I'm sure also that there are probably quite a few books on the subject, and as the caller suggests, people could try heading down to the library and go to the section where all the cookbooks are and, you know, see what they might find. So it seems like now that there is a growing number of people who have particular
yeah.
dietary
yeah.
concerns, you know, whether it is you're trying to keep your fat down or your sugar, or you have a particular kind of allergy, or you're concerned with, you know, who knows what. And it seems that there are creative ways to get around a lot of that stuff without ending up with a diet that's horribly limited or horribly unappealing.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Let's talk next with a caller in Urbana. This is line one.
Yeah.
Hello.
I got a recipe, not so ordinary quiche one. It's out of the Unemployed Cookbook, Cooking on Extended Benefits.
Oh.
I don't know whether you would be interested.
Yes. Sounds...
I like it very much, but it does not have a crust. It has 3 eggs, 1 1/4 cup milk, 1 1/4 cup Bisquick mix.
Okay.
1/2 cup grated Swiss cheese, 1/2 cup grated cheddar cheese, 1 teaspoon dry mustard, 2 green onions, 10 ounces cooked broccoli or spinach.
Broccoli, uh-huh.
And it says here 1/2 a teaspoon salt. I omit that because the cheese is usually salty enough for me. And 1/2 a teaspoon pepper. Beat eggs, add milk, salt, pepper, dry mustard, and green onions. Stir in Bisquick, Swiss cheese, and cheddar cheese. Mix well. Add broccoli or spinach. Pour mixture into 9-inch greased pie plate. Bake at 350 for 40 minutes. And 350. Serve 6.
350 for 40 minutes.
Yeah, and it serves 6.
Uh-huh.
And I like it very much because I don't have to mess with the crust.
You don't have to make a crust, no.
And it tastes good.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, well, there is a crustless quiche. Well, it sounds like, as I said, it's a gratiné.
Well, now, what's the Bisquick going to do in that?
Thicken it.
Okay, so that's just
because there's only a 1 1/4 cups. 1 1/4 cups of Bisquick, and it's going to thicken it with the milk.
And is that basically what Bisquick is? Just it's some flour and some leavening agent,
and there's probably a little bit of oil or something that will substitute for what the oil is. To Bisquick, you only add milk, and you've got biscuits.
So it would have to have some kind of fat component in there.
I think so. They may be guarded in telling you that, yes, there is this fat, or no, there is not, but we put this in for what – there has to be a little bit, because that's the way you make biscuits, is a little fat, a little milk, a little flour, and some leavening.
And Bisquick is one of those things that it will go rancid if you keep it on the shelf too long. So obviously it must have some fat
I think so.
Thing in there. All
right. But not a whole lot.
Yeah, okay.
Very handy object.
About 15 minutes left. With Doyle Moore, we're talking about quiche. Questions welcome. Recipes welcome. 333-9455. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. Pontiac. We have someone in Pontiac to talk with. Line 4.
Hi.
Yes.
I love quiche.
Good.
Last year, my daughter, Sarah, was in France going to school.
Yes.
And I sat in her dorm room one evening and watched her put together this quiche. Then we walked down to the communal kitchen for her to bake it, and I wrote it down in my journal, so I thought you might
like it. Oh, yes, indeed.
This is a real French quiche. She used the puff pastry that you can buy at the store.
Yes.
And they have it there as well. And she put a layer of that in the pan, and then she had opened a jar of pesto.
A pesto, yes.
And put a little layer of that on the bottom.
Okay.
She cut up a tomato and scattered that over.
A fresh tomato, yes.
And then she had some shredded Gouda and goat cheese.
Gouda and goat cheese, yes.
And she sprinkled that over all of it. She mixed up 4 eggs. And they're able much easier to buy the creme fraiche over there.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh,
she
uh-huh.
opened a carton of creme
of
fraiche.
Of creme fraiche, yes.
Which you could use half and half. And that was probably like a 8 ounce.
Or if I... Let me throw in a pitch here in the middle. I have just recently discovered that in town we can buy the Mexican crema.
Oh, okay.
And it is very, very thick, and it is very, very good, and it comes in a jar.
Okay, and that would be perfect.
I've found it in 2 places in town, yes. But creme fraiche, yes.
And 4 eggs. She stirred
and 4 eggs,
together
yes.
And poured that over everything that was there already. And then she added some herbs. So I think she had a little Herbe de Provence mix.
Okay.
And salt and pepper. And then she topped it with some shredded Swiss cheese.
And then shredded Swiss cheese, yes.
And then we just walked down and baked it. And, you know, until that crust is all browned and nice. And
the puff pastry was not blind baked. It was fresh yet.
Right.
And it would just be on the, oh, that sounds very good.
And it was very tasty.
And the
flavors
pesto,
were nice.
Yeah. I would only miss one thing in there, and that would be a bit of mustard.
Okay, sure, and that could be.
But I believe the pesto might take care of that need.
Yeah, it really added a nice taste. And she is over there at the university today talking to them about going to get her doctorate there.
Oh,
she's
my.
She's got her master's now, so she's at the language school. And
uh-huh.
So she probably won't hear this.
Well, that sounds like a very good recipe.
It
I
is.
Like
it's
that.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Very good. We appreciate that. In case, by the way, there's anybody who doesn't know what the term blind baking means, it means baking the crust naked, right, without anything, without the filling.
Oh, the crust naked, not...
It doesn't mean that the cook is naked.
So you don't have to be the naked chef.
No. And even he wears pants.
Yes, he does.
I've seen the show. And I guess there are some recipes where what they want you to do is bake the crust all by itself, some first before you put the filling in. And then there are some recipes that don't, I don't know exactly what, you know, what the difference is, but there are some you do and some that you don't.
Now, let's just get a little finesse into the blind baking. If you're using a pâté brisée, the kind that, and if you don't want to make a crust, you know what? Now you don't have to. You go out and get that Pillsbury rolled crust. Even the books say, hey, you can't really quite beat this. This is awfully good. So you unroll the crust, put it in the pan, then you poke the bottom with a fork all over it, and that keeps the crust from swelling up and raising up and making air bubbles inside. It keeps it flat. Now that does cause a problem. When you're blind baking it and you've got those holes in the bottom, that's when I learned to cover it with a painting of Dijon mustard. It covered the holes so that everything didn't leak through those holes, because you're going to make holes if you poke it into
Right.
Then you may fill it with a piece of aluminum foil, and then get some beans and put maybe about a half a pound of beans on it. Or they also have what's called pie weights, which is little aluminum toll house kisses, you know, made out of aluminum, and they work. If you bake that way and you want to do that, I would recommend the pie weights, because you destroy some of the quality of the beans when you bake them dry for even that short period of time, and they begin to get drier and drier, and they won't be nice when you want to cook them as a regular bean. So pie weights would work. I myself don't even do that. I put the aluminum foil in and I mash it down so that it sort of has its own pressure on top of the crust, and it seems to work. So I don't put the weights or anything in, and I get a good result from that. I don't know if it's just my audacity or if it really has something, but I do push the not mash, but push the aluminum foil down so that there's nothing to allow it to raise up.
Yeah. Well, it probably would have enough body to it so that it wouldn't weight it down, but it would keep it from puffing up.
And that's its function. And but you do that when you're not going to bake the pie a long time, like a cream filling for a cream pie. You want to blind bake the crust.
Oh, so maybe that's the thing. It's the how long are you going to cook it?
Exactly.
For?
Well, that's the whole point. And then the other advice is putting it in a glass pie pan rather than a metal one, because it'll be hotter and hotter on the bottom, and it will cook better.
That's another thing I think it's interesting, because in our kitchen, I'm sure we have some that are glass, we have some that are ceramic, something like Corningware, I guess, something like that.
Those nice French
I suppose we do probably have some metal ones. Somehow I like the glass ones. Maybe I just like the way they look, or like the way they feel. I don't know, but I do like the glass pie pans.
Well, I my guess is that you were at such an age that when they came in and they began to be used, it was fascinating, because you could sort of see through them and watch it be, and it wasn't like, oh, not another old pie tin. Because I do like the fluted bottom ones that fall out. Well, you can't get those in glass. Those have to be metal.
Oh, yes, the ones that with the bottom actually comes out.
Yes,
comes
I
out,
love
like
to
your,
cook in those in tart pans.
Like your sort of like your – I'm thinking like a springform.
No, springform is different. No, this is the one where there's the fluted edge around it, and then the pie round fits into that.
Yeah, and
you
can
lift it
up
from the bottom. But,
yeah. Yeah, I get you. Okay, let's talk with somebody else here in Champaign. Line one. Hello.
Hi. I have a couple of questions off the subject of quiches. One is, I'm looking to make French bread for the first time, and it calls for unbleached white flour. I have pastry flour. Is that completely different?
Yes, it is completely different. It's different. I can't tell you what the great difference is. I would just simply find the unbleached flour,
okay,
because it does exist and fairly easy to find. Pastry flours are going to have a different relationship, again, of that mystery word, gluten. They're going to have either more or less. I forget exactly what their quality is, but pastry flour is a different flour from just all-purpose or unbleached or bread flour. They all have a different curious secret mixture to themselves. So
when I go to buy it in bulk, should I just look for something that says unbleached white flour, nothing fancy, nothing
Nothing. Yes, it's not a fancy. I don't even know if you have to go to bulk. I think that you can get it. You can get unbleached flour in 2.5 or 4 pound packets.
Well, I typically buy my flour at the co-op. So.
Oh yes, well then
so
they'll have it,
flowers.
And it'll be perfectly all right. It's not an unusual or a very special, but it does have a quality that some people want.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then another really bizarre thing that happened while I was listening to your show. I had this tomato sitting on my counter for quite some time, not too long. It looked beautiful, still really really nice, and it felt beautiful still. And I cut open into it, and there are little sprouts in my tomato.
In the tomato.
Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not going to eat it, but, can I grow tomatoes from that? I mean, have you ever heard of that?
I have not heard of that happening in a tomato, but no.
It's moist.
This is my silly logic.
Or anything.
This is my silly logic. The tomato is full of seeds. Seeds sprout and grow plants.
Right.
I mean, I don't know where else I'd look for sprouted tomatoes, but I wonder if it's a matter of, well, not being refrigerated for a long period of time, and that it just, and it's also, you know, we're at the 1st of March, and that is that there are time clocks in a lot of plants and such things, that this is now time to make the seeds grow.
Sure.
I've never witnessed that in a tomato. And
okay, I just thought maybe you'd know.
I believe it's because you kept it out of the cold for a long period of time, and it's decided it's time to make the babies.
Should I stick it in a potted soil?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
The thing you might think about, though, is, and I mean, I don't know what kind of tomato it is. The thing I do know is that a lot of hybrids will not reproduce true from their seeds. So you may not get the same tomato.
If you'd like to be a little safer about it, go get those little peat pots that you put in water and they swell up. And then put two seeds in each, the top of each one, and then put them in an egg carton. Or you can take eggshells, and you've broken eggs from, and fill them with soil, and just put two seeds in each one, and set them in the light, water them, and set them in the light. And then when it comes time to put them into a larger container, you just break the shell, and they're all together.
And there's not any technicalities on temperature or anything?
No.
Okay. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Since they probably want to grow, I'd put them in a window with sunlight.
Yeah.
And not too close, because you don't want it to be too cold in that window. And watch them grow.
Sure,
right.
Why not?
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Sure. Good
Let's
day.
Let's try and do one more here. Urbana, line two.
Hi.
Hi.
The lady who wants to make French bread should use bread flour.
She needs bread flour.
Mm-hmm. High gluten bread flour.
Oh,
pastry flour is low gluten. It is just exactly the opposite of what you want.
I knew it was something like that, but since I never worry about that, I've never really paid attention to. Okay, yes, pastry flour is low gluten.
Yep.
Yes, because you don't want it to be tough and stretchy. So you want it to be flaky and tender. That's why it's low gluten. Yes.
Do you want a really quick recipe for a big quiche?
Sure.
Okay, pie crust for three crusts, like three cups of flour.
Yes.
Crust. Make your pie crust however you do it. Put it in a 9x13 inch pan.
Oh yes, 9x13 square pan. Yes.
Okay, you put your about a half a pound of cheese grated in it.
So the first thing you put in is cheese.
Yeah, and then you put in whatever else you'd like to do, blanched broccoli or pre-cooked sausage or sautéed onions,
yes,
whatever you like. And then you mix a tall can of evaporated milk and a dozen eggs.
Evaporated milk, and one dozen eggs.
Yep, beat them and pour it in and bake it for an hour.
Wow.
And feed the herd with that.
I guess you could. Oh, that really sounds...
And I sometimes put some parsley or, depending on what kind of filling I use, a little some herbs. But I don't put any extra salt or anything. The cheese has enough salt for me.
Yes. And now, is it only one grated, cheddar?
Depends on what's in the freezer.
I see. So cheese, grated cheese.
It depends on what you've got and what you like.
You know, broccoli and sausage and onions sounds pretty good. And it's a can of evaporated milk and a dozen eggs.
Yeah. In a 9x13
pan. In a 9x13 pan.
That's and if you're not, if you don't want
to. How hot do you cook it?
Oh, usually 350, 375, someplace in there.
For about?
About an hour.
An hour.
Yeah, it takes, you have to look at it, you know, depending on.
Because it's going to be pretty big and thick.
Yeah.
Boy.
But it's really easy because you can prepare the crust ahead of time.
Oh, yes.
And it only takes, especially if you buy a package of grated cheese, it only, only takes a very few minutes to assemble something that you can feed your unexpected herd.
I love it. Quiche for the herd.
Well,
and
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you can use the evaporated milk in place of cream in smaller quantities in other quiches.
Uh-huh.
It really gives it a nice texture.
Because it is nice and thick, yes.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much. We're about ready to finish. Any last thing you want to?
No, I'm meditating on this. I rather like it.
Right.
It is very close to really what we were talking about because these things are sautéed and put together and just dropped in. Like it.
Well, we'll leave it there with the promise that next month Doyle will be back. We will do it again. In the meantime, if you're interested in having some of these recipes, we'll try and get them written up as soon as we can. And if you'll just drop us a line, we will send you the recipe.
The recipes that I know they're going to have because I already gave them to them is the ham, sweet potato, and broccoli, and then the crab and scallion quiche, and sausage, mushrooms, and mustard greens. I didn't get all of those named, but I have those that they have already copied for me. So you just ask for the quiche recipes, and there'll be a bunch.
All right.
Thank you
very much. Doyle Moore, the man we call our official chef in residence. He's here every month, always on the first Wednesday. We talk about cooking.